We are going to talk about The High Note,
which is
a film that I am so obsessed with because I love romantic comedies. Although I do have a debate on whether this is actually a romantic comedy. But it stars Dakota Johnson as Maggie, who's a personal assistant to a mid to late career diva called Grace Davis, who is played by Tracy Ellis Ross, daughter of Diana.
She's amazing.
Dakota Johnson, she's a PA, but she also wants to be a music producer, and this film is kind of set in the downtown LA music scene. It also stars my absolute number one crush, Kelvin Harrison Jr., who is a singer called David, and you will have seen him in It Comes at Night and Waves and Loose. Ice Cube turns up as Grace's greedy, sugar-addicted manager, Jack. There's like a scene where he's like, I'm just going to have cake, no icing. Which I really enjoy for, you know, seeing Ice Cube be so vulnerable in that way to his sugar cravings. And there's also a cameo from Diplo as a sleazy DJ who says it's important to raise women up, which I thought was very funny. And essentially the plot of this film is Maggie, the Dakota Johnson character, is kind of trying to make her mark as a producer while also trying to be a PA. Meanwhile, Grace's record label don't want to take any risks on her, and they just expect her to kind of fill a slot in a Vegas residency instead of investing in new material. And there's a sort of love story element as well between Kelvin Harrison Jr. and Dakota Johnson, which is extremely cute. I am, first of all, really curious to know who you think Grace Davis, the Tracy Ellis Ross character, is supposed to be a stand-in for. Because I thought she might be like Janet Jackson, maybe a bit like Cher, maybe late career Whitney minus the addiction. Who did you see?
I don't know. I imagine that she very much pulled on her mum's experiences for this, you know, in terms of someone who'd been part of the music business for a long time and was really young when she started. You know, if you go back to like the Supremes, to something like, you know, when she hit that kind of chain reaction type thing. Do you know what I mean? That's a big old career to stretch. And so I imagine that she very much pulled on her mum's experience of that and what that kind of brought to it. But I felt there was so much truth in so much of it, you know, that idea of, you know, there's a line in it, I think she says that, you know, how many women in their 40s, black women in their 40s, you know, get the chance to keep doing this, you know, and there's a figure that she kind of throws out there as the character that is so true, you know, in terms of, that's what I really loved about it, in terms of that particular character of being a woman of colour of that age who feels like she can't be true to herself. And
She says that she's never worked with a female producer, and she says that only 5 women over 40 have had a number one hit, and only one of them was black.
Yeah, that's the line. And it's kind of like, there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that that scene as well, where she goes into the record label and you look around the table and it's all men, and it's the kind of old school and the new school. And the new school are still idiots, and they're still kind of like so set in really old ways of terms of the roles of women and not feeling like women should be allowed to have a voice in there.
She wears this like amazing red outfit, Everybody else is in these sort of grey suits, and she's the
beige,
only person of colour in the room.
Yeah.
I think the director of this film, Nisha Ganatra, she made this film that you might have seen last year called Late Night, which has Mindy Kaling and Emma Thompson. And I thought that it was interesting that she'd kind of been hired to do this film, because both of them feature an older woman who's kind of being reevaluated, even though she's already got this really established and prestigious career. And so I think that seems to be a preoccupation of this filmmaker. I also really like how in both of those films, it's kind of a behind the scenes look at the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So Late Night took place in a kind of SNL style writer's room. This one's looking at the music scene in LA. There's loads of fun name drops and in jokes.
Yeah. I'm opening the Adele hamper. That was one of my favorites. It was brilliant. Yeah. It's like you say, it feels like it's peeling back the curtain, even though it's based in a, you know, it's a fictional world, but I thought it was so funny as well. So funny. I thought Tracy's just, you know, she's obviously got this brilliant career as a comedic actress on TV. But this is her first feature film and she's never sung. It's been something she's wanted to do forever. But, you know, kind of having that sort of that amazing person in her life be her mum, Diana Ross. It's like, that's going to be one of the things that's going to make you slightly cautious about following that dream. And I love that she's done it now through this film, which I loved it. I thought it was just what I needed as well right now.
I think as well, like, the music in this film is good. You know, sometimes with a music film, the original songs in it or the soundtrack choices in it aren't that thoughtful. And this one was, you know, it really had some like really good deep cuts. There's a lot of Donny Hathaway and Staple Singers, Maxine Brown, and it's
TLC Do Scrubs.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is that Dark Child, aka Rodney Jerkins, who's very famous, music producer who made a lot of R&B music in the noughties and in the 90s, he did the music on this film. And so there's a really amazing scene where Tracy Ellis Ross and Dakota Johnson are driving in their car and No Scrubs, a song that he produced, comes on the radio and they're sort of belting it out. And I thought it was like a really kind of nice hat tip to him. But one thing that kind of, it didn't bother me about the film because I still really like it, but something I couldn't quite work out was whether the film is a rom-com or whether it's a women in the workplace film. Because I feel like it slightly reminded me of movies like Broadcast News or Working Girl or The Devil Wears Prada, like in the sense that it was a lot about her kind of her career and her self-determination as a woman. But also there's this rom-com inside it that was sort of fighting to get out. And they have amazing chemistry. I mean, like the whole opening scene, which is kind of they meet in a grocery store and they have this bit about Phantom Planet and the song California.
Oh my God, yeah. That's hilarious. I love that moment, yeah.
And yeah, he tells her that the song Hotel California is underrated. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, I love all those. That's what I think as well with like Dakota's character. There's like this kind of point where there's again like the hard character in terms of how much of a music geek she is, and you kind of find out why as the story unfolds and stuff. And I think that there's a lovely kind of obviously like work's been done in the background behind that in terms of her character, and those conversations that actually happen about music within the film itself I think are really nice moments.
Yeah, me too. Although my kind of one tiny quibble about that, and you know, obviously I'm very pedantic about all films, I did feel it was there's a little bit of conflict with the dynamic of her being a white woman trying to produce a black artist, and like her kind of knowledge of soul music that wasn't really like explored, and I would have liked to see the sort of tensions of that dynamic kind of explored more. I felt like it was sort of using her knowledge and her love of soul music and black music as something that was a tool to kind of make her seem more authentic and kind of fitting for the job. So I would have liked to see, I don't know, a little bit more kind of examination around that.
I liked when it kind of, you know, that obviously when you see her and her dad, that kind of for me explained where that came from, the fact that her dad's been this radio DJ and what he was before that, do you know what I mean? And he's just like a, you know, kind of a John Peel character that's been absolutely submerged in music for so many years that's almost like transferred onto, you know, his daughter sort of thing, and it not being about genre really as well, it more just being about music. And obviously that genre of music being part of it.
I think as well, something that the film does that's quite interesting is that it kind of, you've got this character who, she's got a degree in composing and her dad is a famous DJ and she wants to be a music producer, and yet it's still so hard for her to sort of break out of this role of assistant that she's been in for 3 years. And I think that says quite a lot about where the industry is and where young people are and how hard it is to kind of make a break and get a break in the times that we live in.
Yeah, I mean, I'd find it hard to name you 6 female producers, and I think it's really nice that's another kind of, you know, little spotlight on there as well in terms of how difficult that is. But yeah, I think it's fair to say we like this one. Would you agree?
I think so.